Ever Ford, we help our school. Students whose hearts are always ever true. Those black and golden colors floating on high. Hail to the glory of Tipton High. Go team, go team, go. Fight team, fight team, fight. Win team, win team, win. Team fight, fight, fight. Team, all we do is win, win, win. Welcome into Third and Long Podcast.
Woo! It feels good, Clint. We're back.
We are back. Week one.
Week two.
Okay. Week one of the high school season.
Yes.
You can't call scrimmage week.
Episode two that we're
calling. Okay, episode two.
But this is week one. It is football week. This might be, when you look at things like Christmas and 4th of July, this is right up there. Labor Day weekend. The weather is perfect. You've got football going on right now. We're recording on a Thursday.
Yep.
You got Friday. We have Friday Night Lights. And then we've got Saturday with the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes and all the other college. It's a loaded college football weekend, too.
Absolutely is.
Just exciting. And then obviously we have Labor Day, so we have Monday off. So
I was going to say, this is
perfect.
It's time to get on the lake. It's time to watch some football. I can't wait. This is one of the best weekends of the year, without a doubt.
It sure is. And we are starting off with a bang in regards to the sports. I know we're going to talk about it later, but volleyball's already had some action. Swimming's already had some action. Cross country gets rolling on Saturday. So it is coming. Obviously, football tomorrow, it's here. It's supposed to be beautiful tomorrow.
I'm loving all the posts from the parents on Facebook and stuff. The schedules get crazy right now. And it's still best time of the year, though. Wouldn't have it any other way. Love giving my evenings up to watch some great high school sports.
Absolutely. And it's nice because in Tipton we don't have air conditioning at the high school, so that's having true. This cooler weather, usually you have to worry, are kids going to go to school in the first couple weeks? Mm-hmm. And fortunately they're good now. We know it's going to flip at some point. It's going to be 90 degrees.
It's
going to
get warm.
The Indian summer is coming.
Not done yet.
The Indian summer is
summer's
coming.
Summer's not done yet.
So I'm just waiting for that in September.
It's coming. You're right, though. We're usually delayed at this point, or getting out early, I guess, at this point.
Yep. So we did see a little bit of football action. It wasn't much, but we were at the Tiger Bash last Saturday.
Great event.
What a great event. That was really fun. I've got to give some kudos to Cheryl. What is her last name?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Cheryl Schluter. Is that
Schluter? Okay.
We don't know each other, but I was told that she kind of put that together. A-plus job of putting the back-to-school bash in terms of having all the... They had a jump house. They had a rock climbing wall that was amazing. And then all these little games that were organized well, and all the kids were down there.
Kids are coming back, face painted.
It was really cool.
Drawing tattoos and stuff. That was just a ton of fun. It was a great event.
Definitely kudos to her. And, you know, the nice thing is we kind of combined it with the back-to-school bash for the kids and then the back-to-school bash for the teams, which we were there for.
Right.
Got to see that. And then, obviously, the Tipton Boosters did a nice job of running the 5K well as the concessions. So, hopefully, they did well there because there was quite a few people down.
Quite a few people.
Nice weather.
Cedar County Pork Producers were cooking up pork chops and pork burgers. Again, great atmosphere, great event. The weather could not have been better.
No. And I hope they continue with that tradition. It sounds like they're going to. Third and Long, we're always trying to improve things. There were a couple things that I think could be small changes that would make it really good. Obviously, you have the 5K kind of let us off with the Tigers cross-country team is running that. That's actually their time trial, so they're trying really hard.
That's their varsity time trial.
But you get to actually run with the Tigers on the course.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool because you get to see where you're at with that.
Absolutely.
You know, we do have a cross-country course in the park. My thought is let's maybe think about running that so everyone can kind of see inside the park. It's kind of hard when they do the road course because you only get to see them like once, maybe twice when they come back around.
Hard as a spectator to watch that 5K. There's not
most cross-country, you know, you have to move around if you want to see them. But I think if you did it in the park, the actual park, you could actually watch them. But that's minor. I think they did, you know, they ran around the track and finished on the track so people could see them. I thought that was really neat.
Yep.
And then obviously the volleyball, they moved it from the end zone, which was tough to see. Put it to the 50-yard line, which was great.
That was a better change than last year, for sure.
Really good. Obviously, from an entertainment standpoint, we have a really good volleyball team, is what I think.
An insanely good volleyball team,
They're really good, really fun to watch. But when you're doing that kind of, it was more of a scrimmage, and you could tell the kids, you know, it wasn't – it wasn't a very competitive scrimmage in terms of what we normally would play like. And it's a different flooring, so it's just different.
Exactly. It was more of just a fun backyard style game. Here's the team, whichever. You know, I definitely think there's probably ways we can make that a little more interactive with the community and let us get to meet the team a little bit closer and a little bit a little bit better than we did. But again, it was still an improvement from where we were last year. I do think that as this goes on, we're getting better. But to your point, I think there's some improvements that we can make to involve the community, involve the kids a little bit more.
The football, I knew going in that we weren't going to – I think the fans that weren't prepared for that, they thought it was going to be a full game with refs and high hitting and that kind of stuff. And I knew going in that that wasn't the plan, and nor should it be. We don't want to get anyone hurt during a scrimmage.
Well, I was going
to
say,
we don't have the numbers to
– we came out of Friday night with no injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to be honest, I asked around. I got some buddies who coach high school football. That's not the case everywhere. There's teams that went hard in full scrimmages around the state.
You gain nothing out of that.
But
at the same time, it is an entertainment thing. You want them to see the Tigers and be excited about them. It's hard to do that. I heard a couple people like, is this all they're going to do?
Right. Obviously, sure.
Yes, that is all we're going to do.
Yeah.
But I started thinking. I'm like, okay, we do the run with the Tigers for the 5K. Perhaps we could incorporate either the kids or the community members in the volleyball or the players together. Just for an example, like football, very tough to do when they have pads on and get community members. But obviously, you know, they weren't really using that as a practice, so they were just kind of showing off.
Sure.
So perhaps you could have, like, the quarterbacks doing routes to kids and community members. Have the receivers getting thrown to by community members. Have the defensive line, or excuse me, offensive line blocking community members that are trying to get to a cone. Something weird. Do kickoffs or kick the field goals. And
I was going to say, you could have community members do kickoffs, do punts, do field goals. You can also kind of show off your team a little bit more, too. One thing I'd seen some other schools doing is they do punts to offensive linemen or kickoffs to offensive linemen to see which offensive lineman can catch
the ball. How many balls you can catch.
I love those, too.
Just a little more. And obviously, we're really critiquing here because it was a great event. We don't want to bash the Tiger Bash. Sorry for the fun.
It was fantastic.
But it was really good. And then we talked about volleyball. You know, we have those sand volleyball courts.
Yeah.
It'd be tough maybe to get everyone up that way. But how cool would it be to have, I think this was your idea, have the varsity scrimmage the football players and kind of show off like, football players who are great athletes aren't that good.
Watch these great varsity volleyball players demoralize those football players.
It might get a little competitive.
I know it would get
competitive. That's why we're putting it in the sand versus out on the football field.
Exactly.
But just something a little more interactive. I think the last thing, just, you know, I think it's a simple thing. Have maybe the coaches give like a little season preview.
Yeah.
For each, and you know, we had cheerleaders, we had swimming, we had volleyball. Just kind of give them a little snapshot of what the kids have been doing this summer and who you have coming back. Maybe have the seniors talk. You know, that'd be another thing that we could certainly do, kind of more of a homecoming
type
atmosphere. I think it would be more entertaining and the people that would come down there. You know, you have a lot of attention. You have all those kids there. Let's involve
them. We have the coaches talk for the homecoming, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the only time we really hear from the coaches. Be kind of cool if, like, during the football scrimmage, if Coach Nord was maybe even up in the box.
Yeah.
You know, talking a little bit about what's happening on the field, people to watch.
Sure.
And things. I love that idea. To your point, we're critiquing a great event.
Yeah.
But we could also make little tweaks that would make a little more fun for the community and get people involved in our sports teams.
You bet. Well, let's take a peek at the Tigers' upcoming game that is tomorrow against Comanche. So Comanche, looking through what they have coming back, they do have quite a bit coming back. I remember watching them last year, and they had a really good athlete who's an amazing high jumper going to Iowa State, Tyson Cesar.
Yep.
I knew that kid was a freak athlete that could run by any person and could jump over any person.
Absolutely.
He's gone, which is great, but they do return quite a bit.
They do.
It's off of a team that was 1-7. So, they were, quite frankly, we got beat by them on a tough game. We shouldn't have.
Should not have.
That was their only win of the year.
And that was where that Tyson Cesar came to play.
A deep pass.
Yep. He's the one that definitely beat us. But to your point, they return a ton of a ton of starters, but they lost probably the linchpin. Yeah. Tyson Cesar had 48 receptions last year.
Yeah,
on the year, he was definitely their go-to guy, not just in a pinch, but all the time.
They return their, and this is obviously important, they return their quarterback, Charlie Sager.
Yep.
Not Bob Sager, but
not Bob Sager.
Charlie. He had 12 touchdowns. That's a pretty large number. That's the majority of their offense is through the air. He had 1,400 yards. So they did a majority of their damage through the air.
Yep.
He did have 12 interceptions. So when you put the ball in the air like that, you tend to turn the ball over as well, and they did. That's going to be something to watch for this week is can we capitalize on
my remembrance of the game last year is there were some times that
50-50 balls.
I really think, yeah, the 50-50 balls they won with Tyson Cesar
that
they probably don't get this year. And so, yes, they return a lot of experience, and that's good for them. But realistically, unless he's found a new favorite target that can get up to 10.5 foot to pick up balls, it's going to be really hard for them to complete what they completed last year.
They do have one player, and it's someone I hope we put a lot of focus on. His name is Gavin Baker, number 4.
Yep.
He caught 30 balls. He had 500 yards. So that's a legit season for someone as a junior. He had 5 touchdowns as well. So he took about half those touchdowns were to Gavin Baker. So
he's
going to be their attention was on Cesar last year. So obviously. He was open a little bit more, so now the focus goes on the Baker kid, and we'll see if he can get open on when the focus is on him. They also had a second person, had 18 catches, 129 yards. Wes McDaniel, number 3.
Okay.
Besides that, we're going to see some new bodies out there catching the ball, which they like to do from what I remember last year. You're going to see a lot of passing, a lot of quick passes. Every once in a while, throw it over the top. We'll see if that happens. But they only had 291 yards total last year.
In rushing. And that is on 176 carries.
Yeah.
So
now they did add the negatives in there. So like the quarterback getting sacked was considered a negative loss.
Where they ran the ball was very short yardage situations. Usually, I wouldn't even say goal lines. They only had 2 rushing touchdowns.
That is the big one there.
Again, it's going to be interesting to see if Comanche comes in, has a little bit different offensive mindset. Maybe there's a running back who can step up and take the reins there.
They have a returner. He had 124 yards, number 9, Ty Stone. I think he's going to take the reins, just looking at it.
A lot of times early on like this, we don't know who spent a lot of time in the weight room, who got that much bigger, faster, stronger over the offseason. They could come in and be a much better 50-50 team than they were last year. Or last year was a 90% pass, 10% run. It's going to be interesting to see what they have.
This is why I absolutely love the first weekend of football, especially in high school, because you don't know what these kids are doing because there's a lot of people leaving, coming and going.
Yep.
They could be changing their offense, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
We don't even know.
Again, if last year's any indication, though, those two young corners that we have, Justin Boedeker.
They're going to be tested.
Justin Boedeker and Timmerman. Are going to get tested. I think they're up for the challenge. Not saying that it'll be perfect. I'm sure there'll be some lessons learned. Maybe tomorrow night, maybe throughout the year. But I think they should have a lot of confidence with the safety net that sits behind them with Gavin Sorgen Fry and Oakley Cruz at the safety positions covering over the top.
Yep.
I think we have a really good potential to win this football game.
This is the one nice thing about playing a team that we had in districts for the last 2 years is we kind of know it's the same coaching staff back. Unless they made wholesale changes, we kind of know what we're looking for. So unless they come out with something different that we're going to have to adjust to, you're going to see a ton of bubble screens, a ton of quick passes, a ton of rollouts, just trying to get the ball in their playmakers' hands.
Right.
It's going to be a huge key for our squad. We've been focusing on that, I'm sure. Practice to be ready for that, and so I think we're, even though we have some inexperience on the outside with our cornerbacks, I think we have athletes there. They're just going to have to be prepared to know that play disciplined football, make the tackle, give up that 5 yards, but do not give up the over the top touchdown.
Absolutely,
this could be a game where a touchdown is going to be premium, in my opinion.
And look how we lost this game last year. Was getting beat over the top. And so, as inexperienced as we are maybe on the outsides, we are that much more experienced on the inside.
I don't see a lot of running room.
I was going to say, between Langley, Fitch, Hollum, some of those guys that are 5 yards off the ball in that seek and destroy position, if they decide to come out and be a 90% pass team, I see Coach Hornsby picking up some really nice blitz options with Langley and Hollum and getting them in there and disrupting. If they try to run with this, what's his name?
Ty Stone.
I don't see a lot of running room through the middle with that, with our linebacker stance.
No, and this is where I think if our offense can come out, establish itself, make this at halftime, we're up 28-7, something like that, it's going to really put a lot of pressure on them because they're going to be forcing the ball,
Which is probably what we should be talking about more, is our offense and that's our ability to score on them.
If it's a low scoring, which it very well could be, they have a lot of defense coming back. So their strength is definitely their defense. They have a lot of guys, pretty much all their big tacklers are back. Number 53 is a D lineman. He is an absolute menace. I think he had like 6 tackles for loss. He had 50 tackles.
Sure.
They have a linebacker, McDaniel, who also plays on offense at receiver. He had 50 tackles. Baker had 3 interceptions. So majority of their playmakers are back, and you're going to see them on defense. They only had 6 sacks, though. So you look at that and you say, okay, they're really stopping the run, but it didn't look like they were getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, they're probably not doing a lot of blitz packages, stuff like that, to rush the quarterback. But to your point, I think it's going to make a big difference striking early and often. I feel like this is a team coming off a 1-7 season that if you get on them early, you can demoralize them fairly quick. They're not good at winning because they haven't won a lot lately.
What they are good at is beating Tipton, though. there is some payback, and it goes back, I'm trying to think, was it 2019? We were on a playoff run, had a fantastic year, probably our best year since then.
It has been, yes.
And they took us out of the playoffs to go to Substate. That was a tough game. And then, obviously, was it 2 years ago where we were off to that 4-0 start?
Yep.
Went to Comanche, same place, and it was just
never in that game.
No.
Never in that game. Yeah.
It was kind of a tough start of our district play. Yep. And, we never got right after that.
And it rained earlier that day. The field was just a little wet.
They had some big kids.
There's
some payback that needs to happen with this, and I hope the kids realize that.
Yeah.
My goal in this, and I've told you guys from the very beginning, these first 3 games, win, lose, or draw, we want to see improvement because they do not matter in regards to the playoffs. Right. They don't look at your score. They don't look at your wins, losses. We need to stay healthy. We need to show improvement. Those are my 2 keys to get your feet wet and let's roll. But this is a team that we definitely should be able to hang with, and I personally believe we should win this game.
I don't see any reason we can't win this football game, especially with what's happened in years past. And we should have the motivation. We should have the heart to go beat this football team.
Yep. And, last 2 years we've started off super strong playing the Wise Muscatine.
Yep.
Obviously, this isn't the Wise Muscatine. They're a lot better opponent than that in terms of what we're going to be up against. So I don't expect a 70-0 game, but I certainly could see us putting some points on and doing well on defense as well if we play the type of defense that I think we're going to do.
Absolutely. I say Tipton wins this game by 14 points.
That's good to hear. There you go. Interesting thing, I always like to look at this, they only went for 1 extra point conversion last year. Or excuse me, 2-point conversion. All their extra points. They have a kicker.
They have a kicker
coming back. He was 8-for-9, 2-for-4 for field goals, so he can kick a field goal or an extra point. Those are big differences, because I believe I don't know if we're going to kick or if we're going for 2 on majority of it. It depends on the situation. I don't know. They also have their punter back. Now, their punter averaged about 30 yards a punt, so he wasn't booting anything crazy. Yeah. That could be a big part of the game if you get a good special teams return, set you up in positive territory. That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
Game 1, I always worry about we haven't played a varsity team yet. We've been going against fresh, soft players. Just the physicality of it. The nerves, the fumbling, the turnovers.
Hang on to the ball.
The not knowing what play I'm running. The false starts, the jumping. Just all the little things that That's what I'm going to be looking for. It's going to happen. It's game one.
Playing smart.
You're going to have a ball on the ground. You're going to have false starts. You're going to have a holding call.
Yep.
There's going to be penalties. And I just hope we can work through that. And we talked with Garrett Fitch about being a senior and kind of working through that. That's really what I'm looking for, is show me that there's some senior leadership on the sideline as well in the huddle.
Absolutely.
Working through those kind of things.
Absolutely. We got the team to do that. We do. We're senior heavy. We have some really good leaders that have played a lot of football on the field. I don't think nerves are going to be an issue. To your point previously, you know, we don't have a ton of numbers, so we haven't gone super heavy contact in practice. We don't want to. We don't need injuries going into the first game. And so, yeah, I think there will be some, you know, some helmet knocking that might be a little shock to the system early on, but it is for every football player every year. Yep. And nothing simulates game time speed. Say that every year. I don't care how hard you practice. Nothing simulates what you find in the game. But we have really physical players that we got to see last week are flat out bigger than they were last year.
Yep.
You could tell they've been lifting. You can tell they're bigger, faster, stronger.
But we talked about it. You have a whole nother new offensive line.
Yep.
That's going to be a very – I think even the coaches are curious how they're going to have – when you strap it on and the whistle blows, what's going to actually happen. You know, obviously Garrett's taking over at quarterback. This is his first time as a true starter, saying have at it. Get all new players basically
that absolutely
are taking over positions. They've all played a little bit, but they're – being in a key position is going to be interesting, especially on offense. Defensively, you just got to go and play assignment football and just attack the football.
And that's my deal. Football to me breaks down to there's 11 guys in the field, but you got to do your job. Do your job.
Yep.
Quit worrying about your neighbor. Quit worrying about what someone else is doing. You do your job. You have 11 people out there doing their job every play. You're pretty successful almost always. So I know the offensive line's young. They all have assignment football. Do your job. If you do your job, we're gonna be very successful on Friday night.
So the weather shouldn't be a big problem.
No, the weather's perfect.
It is at Comanche. It's not their homecoming, obviously. I think every time we've gone up there, it's been
like
their homecoming.
Too, yeah.
Some of the worst popcorn I've ever had. So watch out for that, hopefully.
I'll remember that.
hopefully they've improved on that situation. But I'm excited. It's only an hour drive. You got nothing going on. Get up there. Let's support these Tigers. Game one.
Get this weekend started off right. Come support our Tigers. This is a winnable football game. We can do this one.
Some good places up in Clinton as well as Comanche. If you want to stop in DeWitt beforehand, one watch out in between Calmus and Wheatland. Been stopped there a couple times. They have construction, so maybe give yourself, I don't know, 10 minutes additional time.
But, smart call. Good call.
There is no JV fresh soft game beforehand because Comanche doesn't have enough players for it.
Yep.
Which they will be playing on Labor Day weekend.
Oh, they will.
On Monday.
Okay.
So for those of you that are going back up there, head back up there on Monday. I have a son that's playing in that, so
we'll
be back
there.
Up in Comanche again. So
love that.
Check it out. But I'm excited for it. I love week one. Mainly, I actually love to get home and check out. There's a lot of good games. We're going to go through it when we do our pick-ems.
Without a doubt.
But there are some fun games, some district stuff that I'm very curious about. Obviously, West Branch is playing, I think, West Liberty.
Yep.
Albernette's got some big games. I'm very curious about Bellevue. Basically our whole district. I want to see.
I know. I'm interested to see who shows up in our district. Like I said, there's so much unknown in week one.
There is.
It's going to be fun to watch the season unfold. And to watch this team grow,
I believe Regina plays Wilton. That's going to be a
Regina
fantastic.
Does
if I
play
wasn't
Wilton.
At this Tipton game, I would be going to that.
I agree with you.
That's going to be a battle because Wilton beat them to go to the state.
Yes, they did.
And there was some
talking there.
And I think now it's maybe switched a little bit. Regina is absolutely loaded.
They have that running back.
They have two kids that are getting recruited. Power four conferences right now.
Yeah, they're good.
So they're going to be tough. They got a senior quarterback. I'm glad we're not running into Regina this year. I know that.
Truth. But
should be fun. Hopefully you guys join us. All right, Clint, we have a surprise guest.
I had a knock at the door.
I love it. And we've been trying to get this person on for a while.
He's busy. He's important.
He's got a lot going on.
Usually has no time for people like us.
Oh, well, and we've got a big one tomorrow he's getting ready for.
He's getting
but
ready.
We have, drum roll, Coach Nord in the house. Coach Nord, how's it going?
Not too bad, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming.
Got all the equipment stuff ready to go, and things are ready to rock for the first game?
No, but we'll probably in the next 24 hours or so, that's kind of the priority list right now.
So I was told the menu for tonight, pregame meal, was some wings and spaghetti. So
really?
The kids are going to be ready to roll. They got lots of carbs in them.
That's great.
It was down at the Red Pin Lounge.
Outstanding meal tonight. Can't thank the Red Pin enough. They if the kids went home hungry, then it's their own fault.
That's their fault.
Definitely appreciate that. Excellent. They did a good job. And we were commenting how fun it was down at the fall bash to watch the football team. Obviously, there wasn't a ton of excitement just because that's what it is. It's a glorified scrimmage, and actually wasn't even that. It was just a 7-on-7, and we didn't want to get anyone hurt, which is the crux.
Well, Coach, what would you say to maybe getting you on the microphone at next year's
back-to-school
bash?
We talked about it.
And we talked about it.
Having seniors talk.
Maybe, give a little preview of the team.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's pretty cool.
Maybe throw you up in the box or something like that while they're practicing. You can kind
I don't know
tell
that people need
that.
To hear me talk. Oh, much, but we get the kids around. I think the kids enjoy it.
Kids can talk. That's okay. No, so I guess a lot of excitement around this year's team. Kind of walk us through maybe just what we have coming back. And, you know, we lost some seniors. It's going to be tough to replace, but walk us through this year's team. Get us excited about it.
Yeah, we lost a lot of starters last year, and so there's a lot of holes to fill, and I think there have been the seniors this year have stepped up to try to make it their best year yet. They've
looked like the weight room has been big.
Yep, we've been setting some good numbers in the weight room. They've been pushing each other. It's been a pretty good energy with each other as competition wise in the weight room, and there's been some learning going on a lot in these first couple of weeks, trying to get everybody into the right spots and going to the right places. They've come. It's been frustrating, so there's been some stuff going that way, but they've come together pretty well and know that they're not going to do it one on one. It's going to take all 11 of them.
Yeah, obviously on the offensive side. All new offensive line. That's got to be that's tough as you're being the offensive coordinator to make sure that everyone's on the same page, including the quarterback who he's played a little bit of quarterback and Garrett Fitch. But that's a lot to take in. I'm sure you've had a lot of preseason to get that kind of dialed in. But there will be mistakes just because that's how every first game goes.
Yeah, and there will be some mistakes. There are some guys that to say that we have a set five from tackle to tackle is probably would be just a huge lie right now, but we'll have five guys to put out there to start, and then maybe be able to put some new pieces in and see what group works together the best, and then we can go from there. It's kind of good of why we have these non-district games at the beginning, because it can be something we can learn about each other.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we obviously are playing a familiar foe week one. We've played Comanche numerous times, especially up in Comanche. It feels like we always go up there.
It does.
Do you see that as an advantage, being able to play a team that we're familiar with? Like, we can kind of scout them out from their tape last year, or is that something that they obviously know us as well?
Well, there's some good and bad, and yeah, I think we both coaching staffs probably know each other pretty well as far as what we're going to try to do. Everybody tries to add a little wrinkle in the off-season stuff. They're a little unknown as well. They lost some key pieces with, their quarterback is going to be back, and then they had a lot of juniors that are going to step up and be in senior leadership there, so we'll just see how much they take the reins and what they can do there.
Yep, and then, the main prize, we had a brand-new district this year. We got redistricted. Happens every 2 years. I felt like it was a fairly favorable draw for us. We either go south or north. We're joining, a tough district.
Sure.
But there isn't like that top-end team that you're like, no one is beating that team. Like, it's just not going to – like a Regina,
very true,
who I see potentially going undefeated unless someone can knock them off. My vantage point, you have some teams jumping from 1A to 2A. It's always interesting to me to see teams that do that, how they're going to respond to that. I think Bellevue's going from an A to 2A. That's a two-class jump.
That's a big jump.
Walk us through, I guess, who's in our district. We kind of done that, but I'd love to hear from your perspective on what you're seeing.
I think it's going to be a pretty tough district. And the ones, the teams that are jumping up have all been quality teams in their classes. So Al Burnett's been always tough, and they've got a lot of guys coming back that are gonna maybe make them the team to beat in the district. We'll see.
Sure.
Bellevue as their quarterback receiver combination was pretty incredible last year. Yep. So we'll see how that plays. Two classes bigger if different defenses can do mm-hmm. something. And then West Branch too, jumping up a class.
That's back to the rivalry. Coach Norton and I were managers when we used to play West Branch back in the
90s. Oh yeah.
Running water out to the players. It was exciting. I mean, it was a huge rivalry.
Yeah, it has been, and we've gone away. We've gotten away from being able to play them a couple of cycles.
Do you think
now.
That was Butch scared of playing Tipton? Or?
No comment. We'll talk afterwards. How about that?
Bless you, Butch. No, it'll be fun to renew that rivalry. We've played them a couple times since when they're actually in our district and had to play them every year. But it's nice to be able to have a place that's 15 miles down the road that. You know, a lot of these, they compete against each other in other sports. I kind of like that because we don't play a ton of the teams outside of West Liberty in our actual conference. It's kind of odd with football how they do that.
Right. And then, yeah, with the classes that they set us up with, we only get three choices for non-district and trying to get we would love to try to keep everything as close as possible, but it just doesn't always work out with 1A teams in our neighborhood.
So basically, we tried to talk about that last week. Essentially, we put down a list, and then another team puts down a list, and they try to match them up. Is that how that works?
Right. It's kind of an exciting couple of days when everything goes. Yeah, nobody really knows, and everybody's jockeying for positions on each other's list. Because if you match up with another team perfectly, like you're one and they're one, you are pretty much guaranteed your top two if you match up perfectly. And then your third game is kind of a toss-up of most likely somebody on your list, but it could be anywhere from number three down to number seven.
Did we have Lone Tree pretty high this year?
We did not get them. What's good is our list and everybody else on our list were matching. Yeah, so we were pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a solid non-conference or non-district schedule. We're going to be tested in all three of those games, but it's going to be battle. You don't want to just walk through the non-district games and then hit districts and face a really tough components right away. I think we're going to be tested.
Right. And a couple of years ago when we had our struggles, I thought it was good to get our non-district games the last couple of years because we needed confidence. We needed some wins.
Sure.
Then this time we looked out and tried to find – we knew we'd had some wins under our belt now, and we're trying to take the next step up. And we tried to get it a little bit more of a better competition for our non-district.
I guess, Clint, you can ask a question as well.
Sure.
But, do you have any players that have kind of stepped up in the off season that you're excited about to see them out on the field outside the players maybe we've been talking about the most, the skill players?
Some that you had guys on last week that I think are doing good things, and there's just a list of other ones, and I'll probably leave somebody out that I'll hear about tomorrow.
Right.
But
right.
Jacob Langley has been owning the weight room. I think he's our all-time squat leader right now. And then some younger guys too that have been in there is David Mackey. Is kind
hype
of the
man, right?
We've heard all about David Mackey.
Everybody does. That's he will let you know too, and he's awesome for that. So. Oakley Crews coming up, and just a lot of these guys that are just. Feeling their way through it right now, and we're hoping that they end up having a big year.
That's exciting.
I was going to ask you about your Oakley Crews and Max Lashman. Those are your two captains, correct? What are your expectations of those two guys this year in leadership?
Well, they started it on their own this summer. They were the outright winners of a captain's pick by the coaches because both of those two guys did not miss a single weight session, and they also did not miss a single football session either when we worked out either. So they were 100% there, and they were the only two on the team that did. So
they don't look like they missed a weight session. So that's good.
That's right. And that's kind of been our goal for the last, 4 or 5 years is we want to try to match what we see in some of the other schools, and we see them, on the football field or on the basketball floor or wrestling mats where they, you can tell they are in the weight room, and we right. kind of want people saying that about us too.
I love that.
I was telling Clint one of my most exciting things week one is to come home and watch the scores trickle in. Any particular scores you're interested? Some big games out there that you're familiar with?
Yeah, there's
and you get tape, right? You're getting a lot of tape.
So the weekend we go in and start getting downloading tape too for off a huddle and seeing what everybody else is doing. But it's just going to be fun to watch our district play their non-district games, and you kind of get a feel for who may be the ones, the front runners, and who, and if there are any surprises.
Yeah, I noticed so far it was, I think, Anamosa is ranked. I believe the rankings came out. The one thing, I would use this as motivation, Gazette came out with their annual prediction of where everyone's going to fit. Mm-hmm. They had Tipton and dead last in our district. I would have that as big as I could in the locker room so they can see that. Yeah. Obviously, had us below Monticello, who we beat last year. And
right.
You know, just a little motivation.
Oh, there's got to be some motivation
to show that. There's a lot of unknown. But yeah, we're excited. Clint and I obviously are going to be doing this every week. We appreciate you coming in. Any last thoughts, Coach Nord, for the viewers?
No, it's unfortunate. I think maybe our first two games are away, and I think we'd like to have a couple of, you know, a home game in there too, because
that flips next year, though, right?
That does flip next year, and our fans are really great about coming out and supporting us and stuff. It's just I hope they continue to do that and maybe make the drive to Comanche tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think it would be great. The weather's supposed to be nice. It's Labor Day weekend, so you don't have to worry about what do you got going on.
There's nothing better to do tomorrow night than go watch high school football. So
no, and let's get to Comanche. There's also nothing better than a bus ride home after a victory.
Let's go.
You have to put the windows down because it's smelling in there, but that's going to be a pretty fun ride home if we can get that victory and start us off 1-0 like we have the last 2 years. It's just a good momentum start and gets people excited for the football season. So Coach Nord, thank you for joining us, and we will definitely, you and I will be up there,
we'll
watching
there.
It, so should be fun. So thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Clint, that was pretty fun to be able to talk to Coach Nord. Maybe we can get a sponsorship to entice him to come in and talk to us, or at least have a phone call with him each week. That'd be kind of fun to get his opinion on stuff.
Again, he knows more about this team than we do, so it's a lot of fun to hear from him.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
Well, there are some other sports, so let's just quickly walk through those. I'll start us off with the cross-country team. Yep. They had their little 5K that was sponsored by the Tiger Boosters.
Yep.
That was actually their time trials. So the top seven essentially are their varsity members. And that's how cross country works. You based off your time, they slot you in. At the next meet, someone beats you, they're now jump above you in that. So that's just kind of how that works. It's pretty easy to see.
It was really easy to see.
Why is my kid not varsity? Well, because you didn't run the same time as the person in front of you. So, yeah, it's pretty easy to see. But we'll start with the girls cross country, just because I'm partial to that. We have Ella Hine is going to be leading us. She's been in the kind of middle to end of the pack for 2 years, and we've had a lot of turnover, and now finally Ella is now at the top of the pack running there.
Yep. Ella's obviously an elite runner. She was behind elite runners, and so now she's our junior elite runner right now.
Yep, and one thing that jumped out to me, Maya Bodecker, who's been hurt, she's had some, you know, just never can quite get going.
She's been battling.
She ran with Ella the whole way, finished literally right behind her. That's going to, for those two to push each other, is going to be nice. That was something I needed to see, and she stepped up and did that. Hopefully that can happen the rest of the year. Lucy Costello is a freshman, so you don't really know. They're going from 2 miles to 3.12 miles, so that big jump up with that additional mile. She did a fantastic job, came in really well. And then we closed out with Alexa Fitzgerald, who's also another junior. A lot of underclassmen, so this team will be coming back with a very solid eighth grade class. Some exciting stuff.
Real solid eighth grade class behind them.
Eighth grade class that won in seventh grade, they won cross country middle school championships.
Yes.
So excited to see what those middle schoolers can do. We'll talk about them as their season gets going. Then Lakin Nord, who's going to be a big contributor for the high school team, she has some shin splints. I hate to give that away, but she does.
Right.
She's been battling them all summer. And so she's just not right. And so they're going to have to figure out if we're going to shut her down, if they're going to let her kind of run through it and get better. But it's unfortunate because she's not running her best. I know she wasn't exactly happy with her time. But she will definitely help us in cross country. And hopefully she'll be pushing that pack as well. And then Addison Menny will be our last varsity runner for the girls. All right, then on the boys' side, a lot of turnover, obviously. You lose a Bowman kid who... It feels like he's been there for 8 years.
At least one Bowman's been forever. Yeah,
and there is still Bowman there.
Thank God.
Caleb is coming back, and he's still our top dog. He will be running in the front of the pack for the Tigers. One of the most impressive ones, improvement-wise, that I saw was Silas McGee.
Silas looked so good.
He came out in front of Caleb Shoemaker, who was the all-time leader at UNI. He, like, took off. I'm like, Caleb Shoemaker's not going to like that. And I think he passed him, like, get away from me. But Silas started, he loves starting off really fast like that, did a good job. Gabriel Costello, another kid that had chin splints last year, never could get going. He looked really strong. He'll be the third runner. Another freshman, very surprising. I've worked with this kid in other sports. Kyson Miller came in and was like, where'd he come from? This is a sport he's never done before. Came in and just tore it up. He did a really nice job. Everett Giese, who played football last year.
He did play. Yeah.
He's going to be on the varsity as, right now as the fifth runner. Ronan Platts was in there. Levi Bodecker. And then Isaac Spangler, who's ran some varsity and JV in the past. He's a senior. You'll see him in the mix as well. So that's kind of our boys and girls cross country. Hopefully there's some others that will jump in there. Like I said, people can move in and out.
Yeah, like you said, it's fluid throughout the year. And like you said, there's those shin splint injuries. They do come into play. It's good to have 6, 7, 8 runners that can fill those varsity spots, because they're going to be used.
Yep. And then so they have their first meet in Anamosa. It's our earliest meet we've ever had. We joined this one and knocked one off later in the year, which I think is good. We do get the meets out and taper at the end. So we're in Anamosa, fun course. If you're doing anything on Saturday after the football game, come on up there. Starts at 9 o'clock, and they knock it out really quick. You can see it all, and it's really fun. Then they have Iowa City Kickers next Thursday. And then the following Tuesday, we'll have time to talk about it, is the Tipton. That's our only meet of the year. Mm-hmm. That'll be our senior night, obviously, for cross country, the seniors, which we don't have a lot on the girls' side.
Yep.
Bella DeLigi, I think, is the only senior. And then the boys obviously have a couple seniors as well. But should be good. Looking forward to it. Just like football, you never know what's going to happen until that first meet happens. And you're like, okay, this is what we got. That's what we have to improve. And really exciting times for the cross country. It's a rebuild a little bit, losing some top tier runners.
It is such as
Clay and Noelle Steinis and Laura Owens.
Yep.
It's going to be tough to replace those folks. But Xander Hagen, sorry, I forgot him as well.
Yeah.
So
good point.
Some top runners that we lost. Going to be very difficult, but hopefully some.
We are Tipton. We know how to run cross country. We'll get it.
We don't. What is it?
We'll get it figured out. Don't you worry.
Rebuild. We
reload.
That's what.
There you go.
There it is. All right. So, Tipton volleyball.
Obviously,
watched them for the Tiger Bash, and then they had something.
They started their season on Tuesday night. They do this annually, it sounds like, with the Lisbon Volleyball Classic in Lisbon. We went 3-1 that night. Lost to a really good Williamsburg team. In three sets, and we took them down to the wire at the end of that third set as well. They had two really good hitters in the middle that we just couldn't overcome, but handled Alburnett easily in two sets in the first match, handled Clayton Ridge even easier in the second or in the our third match, and then our fourth match. Lisbon had a pretty good team, but they held with us in the first like 10 points and then kind of faded away, which I believe Lisbon beat the Williamsburg team that beat us. And so I was a little bit surprised by that. Lisbon's volleyball team is super senior heavy. I guess they have 12 seniors out.
Wow.
In volleyball. With all this said, we played some quality teams, and we handled a lot of them pretty easily. We have a quality volleyball team. This is a volleyball team that's going to start to make some noise and get noticed. I know we didn't start the season ranked, preseason ranked. I think we are going to get there.
We're going to have some opportunities. You play Mid Prairie, who's ranked I think second or third in the state.
And some of those you don't even.
Regina is ranked.
Some of those if you don't even win, but you give them games.
Wilton is ranked. Durant, I think, is close to ranked. So we're playing.
We're in. The beauty of volleyball is everybody makes postseason, right? Yeah. So yes, you can play a gauntlet regular season. It doesn't hurt you in the postseason. It actually helps you in the postseason because you've seen the best competition out there. But I will say, you know, Zane Ayler, fantastic athlete. A lot of fun to watch.
She's played a lot of volleyball.
She played a ton of volleyball.
Her dad obviously coached her for her club teams. And she has really good club teams.
And she's setting now to Pacey Sorgen Fry.
Who has been around.
And Pacey's been trying to set the entire time. And we're finally getting to see Pacey Sorgen Fry swing. And she's doing some serious damage out there, too. So, again, I think this is a team that if you get to the gym and watch this team, you will not be sorry.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's a great show.
So their first home match is, I guess, or match is...
when
I
is
think
that,
it's like
that,
September
11th.
Okay.
9-11. So, yeah, it's again, but our libero, Peyton Dalo, does great. Got Liv Tucker in the back. We got Jada Schmidt. We got Hadley Hindrocker. She's doing fantastic. Got Brooke Boedeker.
She has a little more foot speed than you do. Hadley's
can
get around.
I can
move.
Tell she I know she does. So, but again, we've actually got a pretty good bench. We've got a deep bench. We've got a lot of girls who can play great volleyball. So this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. And it's just going to be, I think it's one of those teams that, you know, they haven't played together a lot. So they're going to get better and better as the year goes on and get battle tested. So. And then last, we have some swimming stuff.
You got swimming. Looks like Tipton did start off their season on Monday at the Tipton Aquatic Center. They took on Clinton High School. Looks like they dropped that one 68-46. Actually, it's a huge school. So
we're always competing against these.
It, I was going to say, swimming is a little unfair in that way.
Yeah. Well, do they have what their next event is by chance?
You know what? I'll look on here. They do. They tomorrow, actually tonight. They're in action tonight at the Williamsburg High School. So I'll have to see how they did.
We'll talk about it next week. So.
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right, Clint. So we've had a lot of response. Obviously, we set up a Facebook site so we can get some more interaction with you, the fans out there.
Yep.
We're hopeful that that can happen. If you are listening, we'd love your feedback on things we can get better. Different segments that we want to do that's different. Obviously,
and don't come back at us and say it needs to be shorter because we try every week to make this shorter and it just keeps getting longer.
We're just too long-winded. That's all there is to it.
We'll blame it on Coach Nord.
Yeah, the interviews are taking up too long. But the one feedback we did get is they really like our the tiger, the cool tiger.
It is a cool tiger.
The third and long, the new logo.
Yep, the profile pick on that.
We are in the process of making some shirts, which were already in the works before we had this. They're done. They're sitting at T&M. I just got to pick them up. Yep. I know there's been some requests for some others to purchase. My request for you, stop into T&M, and they will be able to fulfill that, I think, starting next week. I believe they're $20 with $2 going back to the Tipton program.
Perfect.
Got to confirm that, but I believe that's what the plan
is. I love that.
That's
so great.
If you're interested in those, we'd love to see you in Third and Long podcast shirts. I think they're pretty cool.
They're awesome. Again, like you said, the feedback was positive on those things. Yes.
Yep. So we'll try to put out some more artwork like that.
Love that.
Which we do have the chain that we're going to be giving out. So we'll have a vote for that as well as some different things, but I think you're going to put together
a poll. I'm going to put a poll together. I'll put it up live on the Facebook page.
It's going to be a basic one to start. We're going to get really...
I don't put polls together on Facebook very often. So it's going to be a basic one to start. I think this one's going to be a simple one for everybody, and I hope that we get a nearly 100% response on one side.
Will the popcorn be stale or not?
It's too judgmental and too obtuse. We can't.
Well, that's what I want to know.
I know.
I
don't
know what the fans think.
Actually, that's a good point. We should do that. This will be very Tipton football related. I'll get that out first thing Friday morning.
But don't be afraid to comment and interact with us. We'll read everything we got. You might even make the podcast if you have a funny comment or something that we can add.
Feel free to troll us on our podcast page.
So, very good. All right, Clint. So, I think I've won the last 2 years. We've got to go through the football pick'em contest.
What
we do, for those of you who are just listening in for the first time, the Tipton Conservative puts together a list of teams that are sponsored. You can actually buy the paper. It's free. You fill it out, and then you win $35 if you win. It's free.
Not a bad deal.
So you just have to turn in
this guy named Skyler Hines won it before.
He has. $35. So, actually, they upped it. $40 for first place and $15 for second place. So
inflation.
I might have to buy two papers, one for my son and one for myself, because I was getting hot there towards the end. Let's go through these. I will start us off with West Branch and West Liberty. I'm going West Branch on this one.
Really?
It's our district team. I think they just they return a little bit more. There's a Gates kid that are returning. I'm excited for that. Yeah.
So I'm going to go West Liberty with them just because I love Matt Hughes, but he's untested. I don't know what West Branch looks like this year. And West Liberty seemed to bring in a bunch of transfers.
Transfer portal.
On in high football. School transfer and portal. So I'm just, yeah, I just, I don't know. I feel like West Liberty's got the edge on this one.
Yeah, very, it'll be a good game. Obviously, you're up 1-0 still.
I picked Iowa State over KSU.
Congrats.
Thank you.
And then the next game, obviously the game we just talked about, Comanche versus Tipton. You go first.
This is an easy one for me. Tipton, this is a winnable football game. If we show up to play, we will beat this team.
I will go Tipton as well. I think it's going to be a 28-14 game. I think it's going to take us a while to get the offense going. Sure. Until they prove that we can get first downs on a consistent basis, I'm going to keep us at the 28
Keeps points. Keeps it a lower and, score. Okay.
You know, give up something.
I mean, who knows? That poll could be an over-under number. We'll see.
All right. Next one, Cascade against Bellevue. It's a good one because we got a conference or district foe. I'm going to go Bellevue.
Okay. I'm not surprised by that. You always had a soft spot for Bellevue.
Love me some Bellevue.
I'm going to go Cascade for this, so we're opposite on two, which is great.
Sounds good. All right, the next game, this one's my lock of the week. We got Monticello against Mount Vernon. Who you got?
I got Mount Vernon all day long.
Going for Mount Vernon as well.
Okay.
I think they're hoping to get out of that without injuries.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. All that's right. Going to hurt.
Next one, another district game, Center Point Urbana against Albernette. And I'm going to pick Albernette on this one.
Oh, I like that. Man, honest, Albernette's the real deal. Center Point Urbana is a quality school, though, and it's a bigger school, too. But I'm actually going to do the same. Albernette, I'm impressed with what they're bringing back and what they can do.
Gotcha. Another district game, Maquoketa. We're playing both these opponents, Maquoketa and Anamosa. You get first pick on this one.
I'm going to go Anamosa with this. The preseason ranked team. Again, they got that stud running back, and they got that Antonelli kid on defense.
They're throwing me down for Anamosa as well. Sorry. And then staying in Cedar County, we got North Cedar against Clayton Ridge. I have done really well going against North Cedar. I bet with them once, and they killed me. So I'm going against them, Clayton Ridge.
I'm going to have to.
New coaching staff in North Cedar, though.
I'm going to have to go Clayton Ridge as well, even though my youngest boyfriend plays for North Cedar. But
your youngest boyfriend?
My youngest daughter's boyfriend. Gotcha. Plays for North Cedar.
Okay.
And I want to pick with him, but they got to prove to me first that they deserve it.
Gotcha. Next game. This will be a flip of a coin for me, but East Marshall against BCLUW.
Beeman Conrad Union Liscomb Witten.
Wow. There's a U in there.
Yeah.
Union
Witten.
Okay. Must be Central Iowa.
Yeah. Liscomb, Beeman Conrad.
All right. Never heard that school.
I set the high school home run record there. 3 in a game.
You've hit 3 home runs?
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to go BCLUW on that one.
I will go East Marshall because I've never heard of BCLUW. So
I think East Marshall's down this year.
Well, then I'll go. No, I'm just kidding. You know more about that one than I do. Next one, Hudson against North Lynn. I don't even know what they have coming back, but I will go North Lynn just because that's who I trust.
I was going to go North Lynn on that one as well.
Okay.
They usually field a good football team.
Next one, Lisbon versus East Buchanan. I'll let you go first on this one.
Oh, man, this one's hard for me. I'm going to go Lisbon. I don't know why, just because perennially.
I'm going East Buchanan because I think Lisbon lost a ton. They have a new coach coming in, Alex Dean, who was coaching at North Cedar.
Okay.
So I'm just
– and East Buck is another perennial great program, so yeah.
So throw me down for East Buchanan. Man, they just love this team. Postville against Midland. I
just don't know.
Give me Postville. There's just no way Midland's good at football. There's just no way.
Well, with that comment, I'm going to go Postville as well.
Right. Sorry, Midland people, but there's just no way. Next game, Starmont against Maquoketa Valley.
Another. Starmont's always in there.
Yep.
I'll go Mac Valley. They're pretty good this year.
Mac Valley is ranked second, and they are. I have them as a contender to win 1A. Outside of Regina there. So I'm going to Mack Valley. Wapsie Valley against Denver. Throw me down for Denver. no reason in particular.
I was going to say, I'm going to go Wapsie Valley then.
Perfect.
All right, Clint, this one's tough. Iowa against Albany. Where is Albany at? What state?
I think it's Albany, New York, isn't it? Okay, good. I'm going the Hawks.
Give me Hawks by literally 70.
Hawks by a million. Perfect.
Iowa State against South Dakota. Iowa State coming off that big victory. Quick turnaround. Got to play a smaller school. What do you think here?
Yeah, but it's South Dakota. I mean, it's not a bad school. But
we're not South Dakota State. This is not North Dakota State. This is South Dakota.
This is – I'm still ISU. I don't care about the Ireland hangover. It's still
both. Iowa State.
Perfect.
All right, Northern Iowa against Butler.
God, I'm going to go UNI just because I'm a homer.
Give me UNI, new football coach from Drake. Excited to see that. Should be good. All right, and then we got some just absolute bonkers college football games on Saturday. I'm going to the Tim McGraw concert up at Field of Dreams.
Are you? Okay.
So I'm not going to see some of these, which really disappoints me. But you got Ohio State, Texas.
Woo! At Ohio State. Noon kickoff.
I will see that one.
No sense. But yes. You want first?
Oh, it's me. Yeah, I got Ohio State.
The Arch Manning era starting. I want to see Mr. Day go down. I'm going to Texas.
Okay, makes sense. Clemson, LSU.
Oh, my God. Such good games. I'm going to go LSU.
So this is my team of the year, Clemson.
Perfect.
So Clemson, even if they lose to LSU, I think they're going to win out after that. They have a pretty weak schedule. They have a stud quarterback. They have a really good team. I see them going to the national championship game. That's how good I think
they are. Damn, out of the ACC.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
They're going to get there. They're going to have a weak opponent.
All right.
I see this. If they can get by LSU, they're walking in undefeated. So,
deal.
Clemson. All right, Miami against Notre Dame.
Ooh. Oh, Catholics versus convicts again?
Catholics versus convicts.
Oh, man.
Let's go with the Catholics.
Oh, okay. I have Notre Dame down on that one as well.
Okay. And the last one, there's two more. Tennessee against Syracuse.
Oh, Tennessee all day.
Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
And then last, what a joke, Texas A&M against UTSA.
I'm going to go A&M on that one.
I'll do the same.
All right, perfect.
All right, Clint, let's end it with what did we learn? Obviously, a lot going on with football, that kind of stuff. As you know, I have a relative that plays football in the NFL, married to my niece, and he signed with the Texans this year from the Chargers.
Okay.
And he signed a very lucrative contract, had some guarantees in there, so we kind of thought he was going to stick with the Texans. They had a loaded linebacker room, had a couple undrafted rookies that came in they really liked. They ended up cutting him. So I got to see that process. It was very scary. They literally moved in the week before because they waited and thought he was on the team, got cut, had to now move. He got signed within 12 hours. He was on a flight at 3 o'clock in the morning. They flew him out to Green Bay, signed with the Packers, which makes me so upset. If you know me, I'm a huge Lions fan. He's already in uniform.
You just have to hate the Packers, but now.
He's wearing my brother-in-law actually played for the Packers as well.
Okay.
And he's wearing the same uniform as my brother.
No way. Well, that's kind of cool, at least. Very cool.
And then today, the big news that dropped, Micah Parsons. So the NFL, it's a crazy business. You never know who you're going to be playing for.
Green Bay must have had unlimited amounts of cap money or something because they saw. I mean, that's a $189 million deal.
I don't care. He's worth it. He's a menace on defense, and the fact that the Lions have to play him twice a year, including Week One, which I'm going to try to go to. Now that Nick is with the Packers,
that'd be a fun one.
I'm scared of it now. I was not scared of it before. I would be scared of it now because he just disrupts every play you run. There's something he's doing.
Being an offensive tackle in the NFC North right now just got scarier all the way around.
It sure did.
It got hard.
Yeah.
So, well, I learned, and I think I mentioned this a little bit last time, and we're doing this podcast from my house right now in Tipton. I'm building a home.
Yes.
And I am not good at picking out bathroom floor and shower tile.
Just go with white.
This is, oh my God, there's
or beige.
Which color white?
There's 27 whites. At your templates. I have
sample after sample sitting in my house. So if there's any suggestions out there,
bring in a professional to do it.
I am open to suggestions. Yes. So
well, you got all Labor Day weekend to kind of sit out there and
that's true.
Mosey through it.
But. That's true.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a good podcast here, episode 2. We're going to try to do it bigger and better next week.
Let's go.
I want to be 1-0.
Let's go.
Tigers 1-0 going into West Liberty because there's big payback that needs to happen in West Liberty. So
These first two games, payback games. Let's go, Tigers.
All right. Thanks, Tigers. We'll see you on Friday out in Comanche, 7 p.m. sharp. It's going to be beautiful. Let's go.
Happy Labor Day weekend.
All we do is win, win, win.